Thank you very much. I am Tom Hunter, and as Kinsley said, media. I used to be in a department called Media Productions, and I keep getting my title wrong. So I'm Corporate Communications Administrator at McKee Foods. I was asked to find three interesting things about myself, and I really don't find myself that interesting. But one thing was, I was once upon a time a cab driver, and I actually had hair at the same time, you know. I like to smoke things, but not what you think. So. And I once got to drive my car around Bristol Speedway, so that was a fun event for me. I've been in this position at my company for 40 years, so I've seen a lot of changes, and hopefully we'll get to talk about some of those as we go through.
Hi, my name is Nicole Nesensik. I'm a customer success manager with First Up, but I have been in the communications business for 20 years. And part of being in the communications business, I have been lucky enough to meet some pretty incredible people, including Dolly Parton. She was amazing. I only got to talk to her in a two-box, but highlight of my life. I'm a huge Golden Girls fan. If there's any Gigi's fans in here, I have a signed script by Bea Arthur. That's how dedicated I am. And on the flip side of that, I dine every Valentine's Day with my husband at the illustrious White Castle. If you have not done that before, it is a fantastic time. Thank you to the one fan in the crowd.
I was just telling her I've never had a White Castle, so we're going to have a date, too.
We're going to fix that.
So you go ahead.
Yeah, so here we're talking about McKee Foods today, and Tom has been with McKee Foods for 40 years. Question is, who is McKee Foods? Some products are on your table, so there's a little bit spoiler. But Tom, tell us a little bit about McKee Foods.
Well, we manufacture snack cakes and cookies for a variety of brands. This is our food service brand you may have heard of. Probably not. It's called Fieldstone. Sunbelt Bakery is a granola-based product. Drake's, and of course, our flagship, Little Debbie. So. So if you're outside of the U.S., you probably haven't heard of any of them, but anyway. Here's some delicious bean, not bean, delicious cookie footage. Some of our products.
It's an assortment of sweet treats.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course, the Nutty Bars, a good favorite. Honey Buns. Yeah.
Swiss Rolls.
Yes. And the best for last?
Oatmeal cream.
Are we going to start a fight by saying that's the best for last?
It goes back and forth.
So tell us a little bit about the founders of McKee Foods and how that's really translated into communications over the decades.
Okay. As you can see, the founders, Odie and Ruth McKee, started back in 1934 baking out of a small shop in Chattanooga. That's them on the left. And so they founded the company and have worked through the years really quite impressively, were very good communicators to their employees, very good at including them in most of the activities and Christmas parties and things like that. Small bakery, you can imagine that. As we grew, it got a little more difficult. But they were leaders by example.
And that truly carried the family tradition, right? Treat everyone like family, and that was that really close-knit group. But as the company really started to grow, especially as we go into the 80s, that's when we started having kind of a differentiation in communication.
Right. So the second generation of McKee Foods owners, they were in the 80s, as Nicole said, and they would appreciate more of the polished communication. So they saw the importance, but they didn't really feel comfortable communicating directly. They'd do some speeches. It was very stilted and stiff. Some videos, same way. They wanted us to do the creation, and they'd sign off on it, and that would be the way it went. When we went to the third generation, they're much more savvy and much more interested in technology. And really embraced what we're doing now. They kicked off different communication methods, and like digital signage, and first up.
Does anyone recognize the woman in this picture? There is a prize. Who said, yes, little Debbie.
Who said that?
Mike right there.
Give that man a zebra. Not a zebra cake. You got a real zebra.
So right now we're under the third generation of thought leadership, which has truly helped transform communications with First Up. We're going to talk a little bit about how that has developed, but we're already starting to look forward to the fourth generation of leadership that will be in place as well.
Right. Fourth generation are employed. We have at least five there, and I think there's a few more involved in the company that are getting groomed for future leadership roles. And this group, you know, are born with phones in their hands, so communicating them. We always thought that we had every base covered, but we have to start with this baseline of where we're at today to work with the next generation coming forward. So,
and in terms of comms at McKee, you always have lived by a certain motto that was started by the ownership. And what is that motto, and how does it fit into the communication strategy today?
Okay, O.D. McKee, he had a favorite saying, and it was, as soon as I click it, there's a better way, find it. We kind of borrowed that a little bit from Thomas Edison, but he was a master at tinkering. He wasn't so much an inventor, but he would take a piece of equipment, modify it, make it work faster, more efficiently, those kind of things. And I think that's kind of taken us through our communications journey as well. You know, we've done a lot of the traditional stuff, but we kept looking for new ways to get messages to employees.
But before we talk about new ways, should we do a little bit of time travel of how McKee has reached workers in the past, and how did that start?
It probably started like a lot of you all have started as well. Lots of print communication, very heavily from every group. We had weekly newsletters, we had monthly magazines, we had targeted newsletters for the sales group, and that just accompanied the traditional bulletin boards. And one of the things we were trying to innovate, and I found this back in the 80s, late 80s. How many remember what this is? A cassette type. We created a monthly cassette tape for our truck drivers to put in their trucks.
Yes.
So it was
early
a podcast in the 80s, and we're going to try and revive that concept actually moving forward. But we were a little amused. We've worked in digital signage in the 90s to try to get more messaging out a little more, but dynamically. And
then we need then to fast we,
then
forward.
Then we fast forward to today.
So we're going to skip the 2000s, even though maybe mm-hmm. there was a lot of good music in that time period, if that was your thing. And we're going to go to 2019, because that's when you first started with First Up.
Right.
So when you did make the decision to come to First Up, it's always been important for McKee to reach manufacturing workers, right? The motto was, if manufacturing doesn't have it, nobody can have the information. So
right.
those frontline workers were always top of mind, of course, mm-hmm. for everyone. And then you've just continued that as you've brought on First Up. So for a lot of customers, launching is a huge deal. And you all did a big launch for your program called?
X.
Yes. Play on some baking terms.
Yep, so we came up with the mix. And the way we launched, we handed out little whisks. She's got them here. We had employee-wide meetings, company-wide meetings for employees that were not mandatory, but twice a year. So we timed it perfectly with one of our employee-wide meetings. We did a big push. You can see some of the activities. That's even management and, big cell phone-looking posters and balloons, the whole ball of wax. And we even allowed time at the beginning of the meetings to for instructional videos.
We hope you are excited about the new MixApp communication tool. Here's a quick video tutorial on how to download and log in to Mix. Go to your App Store or Play Store and type in the search function McKee. Here, you will see all the McKee Foods apps. Scroll down until you find Mix, then tap the download button. Mix is now downloaded to your phone. To sign in, you will need to use your Workday login credentials. The example shows an email address. Do not put in your email address. It will not work. If your phone has Face ID or biometric access, you can enable it at this time for easier future access to Mix. Congratulations and welcome to Mix. Please feel free to start exploring the app and staying in the mix.
So we've made time within that meeting.
We hope you are excited about the new Mix app.
Apparently we were repeating it. So we made time at the beginning of those meetings, and during the meeting, we opened up Wi-Fi access for everybody who was in the meetings, which we'd never done before. We made quite a big deal about it, and we got pretty good early adoption.
Your adoption has been fantastic, and we're going to dive into the numbers a bit later, but how else is the Mix accessed by McKee employees? Not only the app, which is obviously big with frontline workers, but you have desk workers as well.
Right. So this is our employee app on the SharePoint. No, it's not SharePoint. It's the web experience. I'll get my words to work for me. And so this is a little example of the web experience. And we've also just recently, and we're still pushing this out, opening a version for retirees that we're calling Mix Silver. So employees who have just recently retired are all over it because they understand how it works. So we're in the process of trying to reach earlier retirees so they can get their information since we've stopped doing newsletters and things like that. So we're pretty excited about that.
Also using digital signage.
Right. So we did, we do use a what we call e-posters for certain types of digital signage that are targeted to different specific locations. And of course, SharePoint is our intranet for the desk workers. And as you probably can't tell, but that's a micro app at the top, so they can use from SharePoint homepage, they can jump straight into an article at Mix, that's a little rotating micro app there, and get as well as a link straight to Mix on one of the icons. So,
one thing that's so impressive about the Mix and what you and the comms team have really done is not only your registration rate, but the adoption with frontline workers that are traditionally pretty hard to reach. So wanted to take some time to walk through a few numbers, but we've also made them fun with Little Debbie products, to take a look at where the Mix sits right now. So okay. Right now, how many employees are registered on the Mix?
Apparently, 91%.
91% of employees registered, so that's of the entire employee base right. At McKee Foods. And then we wanted to break that down a little bit to see how many clicks per employee are we getting. And for all employees, that number is?
How did we get there? Backwards.
13. Assistance is good. 13
yep.
clicks
13
per employee.
Clicks per employees.
So 13 clicks is a very high click number per employee. So when you have your comms plan, what are some of the secrets for success for your recipes that you have to get employees to click on specific items?
Generally, we try to make it important to them in terms of whether it's benefits or activities happening around the company, targets that they're supposed to hit on the production line. But benefits and company news are some of the biggest engagement points. However, we've, as everybody has with the pandemic, we were able to put very important information out to all the employees very easily using this channel. So,
now, something that you did not want to do when you launched was have user-generated content in the platform. Is that correct?
Yes, I've told you I was here a long time, so I was a little bit of a fogey when it came to that. When we have a channel called Snack Chat where we took user-submitted content of anything, dogs, cats, you know, whatever. And I thought that was, you know, kind of a wasted effort. And it turns out that is huge for engagement. So I will say I was totally wrong. And support user-generated content, support commenting, which was also limited. But, you know, don't be afraid. Let it rip, you know, and you'll get people in. And, you know, the same goes true for, you know, signage or whatever. You get some eye candy up there. You get people to bite. And then they're going to stick around and see the other important information that you're trying to use. So I think that's a pretty tried and true technique that I support.
Yeah, you have a couple of topics where you encourage employees to not only submit content, but obviously engage with each other, which also is super important when it comes to employees that work on different shifts. Because if you work on first shift versus third shift, you might not see that person very often. So has it created more of a community as well for the bakery?
Definitely has. And, you know, I think people really enjoy seeing people they used to work with, just like at a live event. They get together and see people they haven't seen in a while. But on Mix and on Snack Chat and some of these other platforms, we try to feature, you know, employees, their kids, whatever, and that kind of makes that community stand out.
So 91% of total employees are registered, but once you take that down a little bit and you take a look at how many frontline workers and truck drivers are registered, so they are not connected to a computer, and they do not have a desk, what is that number?
89% of truck drivers. Of course, our transportation VP doesn't think that's enough. But, you know, we have a lot of work convincing her that the messages that she's wanting out there are getting out there. But, you know, we can you know, provide it. They just have to consume it. So, but that's apparently, according to Nicole, a pretty good number.
It's an incredible number. So when it comes to registering frontline workers, how do you get them to sign up for the Mix? Do you have it in onboarding materials? Is it constantly talked about within specific facilities? How do you get them ingrained in the Mix?
We use a variety of methods. We do use, included in part of their orientation for new employees, but we also, you know, refer to the Mix within our digital signage and other posters and things around that more, you know, it's more information you can get on Mix that you can't get from just a little teaser on the signage. So we really push people toward it so that they can get the full story. And of course, the immediacy of getting messages out there is very powerful.
So 89% registered, but are they clicking as much as other employees that are desk-based?
You tell me.
Just about as much. 12 clicks per employee for hourly employees and truck drivers, which is also a very high click rate as we start to look at the content. So everything for hourly employees and truck drivers is targeted them too. So that's part of your mission, that everything they see is applicable to either their jobs or their role at McKee.
Right.
So we're talking about recipe for success when it comes to frontline workers and exactly how Tom has really launched this to the entire McKee family. So what is that secret for the recipe for success? Because that's what everybody wants to know.
I guess I really don't know.
You haven't just had luck. I think
Right. You've
really put in a lot of hard work to really see what employees want, they need, and you serve them that information. Because paying attention to metrics is important for the team, too.
Right, and we were never able to do that before we had First Up. So having that ability to see what people are wanting to know or needing to know, obviously we're a food manufacturer, there's lots of compliance, mandatory training, safety as a manufacturer that we have to make sure people are aware of and following. But I also have a real talented team who can, you know, channel that information and craft it. Got a real good background all the way from, you know, the print side to video side to podcasting that we're trying out, and just don't be satisfied with where you're at, and just because something didn't work before, like user-generated content, you want to start promoting things like that.
And I like that you said, don't just stop where you're at, because while the mix is really successful for most of McKee, you're still trying to get one specific team on board to do all publishing through the mix. So you're still internally working with what department?
Right. Our sales group kind of created their own communication platform, but it's very, very specific to different regions and retailers and things like that. And they were quite, and still are, quite stubborn about wanting to channel their content through Mix, which, we've really tried to get them on board from the beginning. But we're not giving up. We've integrated at least through a targeted link to get them their app on Mix so that we can show that their salespeople in the field can get to it from the same app. I'm not sure how many are following that, but it's a constant struggle, and we're not giving up because I think it's the way of the future. Plus, the custom-made platform has kind of lost its support from technical side, and so since First Up has given us new and updated kind of tools to work with, I think they're going to start seeing the value of getting it all under one platform.
We're going to bring the sales team in. That's our goal for
2020. Yeah, we're going to get them. One thing I wanted to mention back to the truck drivers, they have onboard computers, and those Mix is preloaded on their onboard computer tablets in their trucks, so they've got it available to them wherever they go. So again, we haven't tapped into that to push things to the trucks as much as we would hope to, but again, there's different pockets of communicators within our company that we're trying to bring under the same umbrella. Not that we're going to communicate for them, but we want them to be able to use the same tools and assist them to get their messages out more effectively than the way they're doing it now.
I think you have a good start with where you are now, and then now it's just branching out to everyone else, which is really what everybody else is continuing to do. You never stop marketing, you never stop growing your program, and that is exactly where you are right now. So
right.
Congratulations, Tom.
Thanks.
This morning about, that's just not how we do it here, and then you watch this, you can always change. So congratulations, those are incredible, incredible numbers. So we have a few minutes for questions. So, Mike, jumping right in there.
So you did mention, Tom, that you get feedback from the employees about additional things that they want to know. How do you get that information? Are you putting out an email and asking them to email and ask those questions? Or are you doing it through polls? How do you find out what the employees want to know that you're not already providing?
That's a great question. Pretty much through commenting. We glean a lot from allowing comments, which we, again, were hesitant at first to do. We've opened that up. We've dabbled with quick polls, and they seem to give us information. We also use a third-party survey that we do every now and then to get specific answers from employees on information they may want.
Awesome. All right, I got one back here. I kind of walked around here. And don't forget, you get a little prize for asking a question, so.
Hi, I wanted to ask about the UGC. You said that there was a little hesitancy at first, and our company is definitely in that stage right now, so I was just wondering, I haven't heard that too much here, so I was wondering, from your perspective, what were some things that helped you ease into being more comfortable with the UGC, and what helped that roll out?
What's UGC?
User-generated content.
Oh, GC. Okay, sorry. I'm not good on the TLAs. The fact that we don't auto-publish made it very comfortable for us. So you'll get a draft are the people who are monitoring the stuff will get a notification that there's a draft to be reviewed, and if it's appropriate, we just let it go through. Once in a while, if it's a very safe topic, we'll auto-publish, but generally we put them all up for review.
Awesome. I've got a couple right here.
Hi, I wanted to ask about, at least for our warehouse employees, our deskless workers, they're not allowed to have their phones on the warehouse floor. So we're competing with Facebook, Netflix during their lunch and their 5-minute breaks. How do you motivate them to choose you over those other things or just, sitting enjoying their lunch?
We're in the exact same boat you are. What we're hoping is that in the lunchrooms is where the digital signage is a little heavier. That might give a teaser article or a teaser to get more information for a big initiative and go to the mix for more information. We kind of early in one of our sessions with our engagement folks discovered that if we can get them for 3-4 minutes a week, they're going to get the information they need. The rest of that's kind of gravy. So, yeah, because we don't allow them to have their phones on the floor either. So we're totally right there with you. We try to everything else to keep that going, though, with signage and other tools we have at our disposal.
Right here, then I've got some in the back, too. So.
Congratulations on your stellar adoption. That's really cool to see. I'm curious if you incentivize your frontline workers to download the app or log in for the first time, or if you attribute that success just to your launch and kind of the engagement around the parties that we saw photos of. Did they receive any incentive for participating in the program?
I don't think we've done anything since the launch. We do periodically, especially for the user-generated stuff. We were giving door prizes, submit something, you get into the drawing for a little prize or something. But we've kind of let that slide a little bit because I think the adoption's just people having the fear of missing information and hopefully keeping the information interesting enough for them to get. And of course, compliance stuff, open enrollment, we do push benefits a lot. It's probably one of our highest viewed topics. And, everybody wants to get their insurance right and all that other stuff, so retirement, those kind of things. So we're just letting it go, and if it starts dropping off, that's not out of the question, but we've not seen the need to do that since. But we've got other good ideas we've been hearing all day that we might start doing some more stuff like that.
Awesome. We've got a few more minutes, and I've got a little bit of a queue here. So we've got one. I actually have one over here. Couple more, but of course, Tom and Nicole will be available after if you have any additional questions too.
So I work for a smaller company. I do internal communications, party of one, and they just hired me on to take this on. And I hear a lot of, is this a want to know or a need to know? And so I'm kind of wondering, with the feedback that you're getting from people, like, how do you justify that, yes, this is a need to know, or is it just like, I'd like to know this? Like, how do you draw that line with that content?
That's a great question. The we've pretty much made the need to know stuff, if it's something that impacts their jobs, impacts their benefits, that's need to know stuff. We have a channel dedicated for need to know things, and if it is very, very, very important, it'll get a definite feature and push. Every button is clicked on the app to get the attention, and now that there's even more in the orchestrate thing, we're looking forward to doing that a little bit more. But we do struggle with that a little bit because, everybody thinks their stuff is the most important. I've struggled with our training group. They think that, their training needs should be company news and go everywhere. And it's like, well, not really, because a truck driver doesn't need this. A field salesperson doesn't need this. So it is a struggle, and my team kind of keeps an eye on all of that, and we will reassign the topic it belongs to if we find it's not really need to know. I'm not sure I answered your question. Okay. Get to see that we struggle too, yeah.
All right, just a couple more here.
Hello. I'm curious to know, is there a specific kind of content that your drivers engage more with? Or is it like...
Well, generally, the information, you know, truck drivers get like a different pay scale and different benefits than everybody else. So they definitely are interested in the trip information and anything that regards that, DOT information. That's the type of thing they like. I am seeing a handful of them, and they're tough to get rolling in the engagement of user-generated stuff. And, you know, we do a little feature, you know, send us pictures across America of where you're at with your truck and things like that. And it's slowly catching on, but there's a handful that like to do that. But generally, if it's got something to do with their pay and their road hours and things like that, DOT information, they're very, very engaged with that. And we also do a magazine for them, too, so they get it from all directions. So, but they'll get it faster on Mix.
All right, we've got one from Bobby and then one from Chuck, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up.
Yeah, thanks. Longtime fan, Tom, first time caller. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about what you said at the end with the, I think you said you put Mix onto truck computers automatically. Can you talk a little bit about that? And did they log in individually, or is it a shared login, or could you expand on that use case a little bit?
I probably misspoke. They have onboard computers, but they're also got onboard tablets that are getting other trip information on. The onboard computers are really logging their position and all that kind of stuff. But these tablets are preloaded, and yes, they would log on as themselves to get the information in the truck.
I'm a bigger fan than Bobby, not that it's a competition. But I know the answer to this question, but I want you to tell the story, Tom. Talk about your employee group that gets to test the food and what they're called, because I think it's the most clever thing I've ever heard.
And I have never, ever been one. So we have a test group that we try new products out or product formula changes, and they are called the Taste Buds. And I've always wanted to be one, but and they get stuff sent to their directly every week to try different formulations and new products.
I would like to be on that application too.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm in. Bring me on. So I'm sorry. I know I couldn't get to everybody. Really appreciate your time. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Nicole. Fantastic presentation.
Thank you.